It's here and now. As former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky awaits sentencing after being convicted of child sex abuse, newly leaked emails show that top university officials planned on telling authorities and Sandusky's charity about accusations against him back in 2001, but decided not to after meeting with coach Joe Paterno. The now late Joe Paterno and Penn State president Graham Spanier were fired after the scandal erupted last fall. A former school financial officer, Gary Schultz, and Tim Curley, the athletic director who's now on administrative leave, have been charged with lying to a grand jury and failing to report allegations of child sex abuse. Both told the grand jury they thought a 2001 shower incident was nothing more than horsing around. New emails seem to indicate otherwise. A hearing is set for July 11th. Brad Wolverton is senior writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education. He joins us from the Chronicle Studios in Washington. Brad, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks, Robin.
And we know that assistant football coach Mike McQuarrie claims that he told Coach Paterno that he saw Jerry Sandusky with the young boy in the shower. Paterno, who again has since passed, said he told school officials there was a meeting with school officials. What do these emails indicate that school officials originally planned to do?
Well, the school officials originally had a three-part plan, one part of which, and the most important part, was to report the allegations to the child welfare authorities. They didn't do that. They had planned it, and then they reversed course after Tim Curley, who's the athletic director, met with Coach Paterno. And there was some sort of a meeting between the two men. There was no email exchange between them because Paterno didn't use email. And so after that meeting, they changed course and decided that they were going to not report it to authorities, which was really against the law. So there could be more charges in this case that could implicate others, including the president.
And the evidence for that change of mind is an email from Mr. Curley saying, after giving it more thought and talking it over with Joe, Coach Paterno, yesterday, I am uncomfortable with what we agreed were the next steps. And again, one of those steps was to contact welfare authorities. What were the other steps?
The other steps were to talk to the subject, as they said, which was Mr. Sandusky, as soon as possible regarding kind of the future appropriate use of the facilities there, and then also talk to the officials at Second Mile, which was the charity that he had established where he had preyed on all these kids.
Further, another email, and CNN has uncovered some of these emails that are part of former FBI Director Louis Freeh's investigation. His company was hired by the school to do a separate investigation, and that's how these emails surfaced. And in another one, Mr. Curley then says if Jerry Sandusky is cooperative when school officials talk to him, Penn State would then work with him to tell Second Mile. If not, the university would inform both Second Mile, his charity, and outside authorities. Do we know, did they ever inform the charity? Did they ever inform authorities? They didn't, did they?
They never informed authorities. They were supposedly to have informed the officials at Second Mile, so I believe that happened. But the other revelations in the case here start with one that we reported this morning, which was that according to a source close to the investigation that Louis Freeh's group did, top Penn State officials held this three-hour meeting back in 2001 where they talked about all this stuff. And then there was a law firm billing record that indicated that there was a report of suspected child abuse. So in addition to these other reports from CNN, we now see that the top officials at Penn State had a clear understanding, even in the language that was used in a billing record, that this was a sexual matter and that this goes against everything they've argued in court, which is that they did not understand that it was a sexual allegation that was a sexual in nature. And it also could implicate the president of the university.
Well, and as Graham Spanier, again, the former president of Penn State, says in one of these purported emails, the only downside for us is if the message to Jerry Sandusky isn't heard and acted upon, we then become vulnerable for not having reported it. So not only did they seem to know about the sexual activities, they seemed to know the legal minefield they were in.
They absolutely understood it, according to these emails. I mean, I think one thing you see is that they were supposed to talk to Sandusky about the problem, as they described it in one of the emails. And it's not clear whether they talked to him. It's just clear that they didn't report it to authorities. And he also continued to bring children around on the campus, and he continued to have access to those facilities. And then following this incident in 2001, four more boys were reportedly molested over the course of the next 7 or 8 years. Yeah. And then obviously Sandusky was convicted last month.
Well, you're also reporting that beyond the Jerry Sandusky case, letters and emails have been discovered that show that the university had a troubling, perhaps, way with dealing with other high-profile problems. In 2007, six football players forced their way into an off-campus apartment, beat students up. What did you discover happened after that?
Well, I think two of the key people involved, two of the key people that the investigators are looking at are Graham Spanier, the president, and the former general counsel for Penn State, who is Wendell Courtney. Both of those individuals were involved in high-profile problems before in relation to athletics. And one person who was interviewed by the Free investigators for the Sandusky matter turned over a series of emails to them, which the Chronicle obtained. And we looked at those emails, and that showed a real pattern, I'd say a pretty disturbing pattern, of how the university dealt with these problems in football. And you saw anything from top people in the student affairs offices talking about criminal intent and criminal problems, to the university president getting involved with scheduling interviews for football players who were accused of these crimes. And the university president also held meetings in his home where the people from the student affairs offices were complaining that they were seriously jeopardized in their ability to be impartial appeals officers in the student disciplinary system. And then one kind of remarkable email from that Mr. Spanier and Mr. Curley, the president and the AD, got from the general counsel. The general counsel said that he informed one of the top student affairs people that how she should act in a meeting with Mr. Paterno, the coach, whose initials were JVP. And this email said, "I did note the possibility that JVP could try to negotiate at some level," meaning he was going to try to get what he wanted out of all of the disciplinary decisions, "and she should listen and try to keep comments to a bare minimum." So they were really trying to squelch some of the dissent in the program.
So what it seems to show overall is, you know, there's pretty damning evidence is that if these emails are real, that school officials seem to know a lot more about these accusations against Cherry Sandusky and didn't do anything. But also in these other situations, that Joe Paterno had quite a role in determining what happened after incidents. His family has responded to this. He, of course, died of lung cancer in January, but his family points out he never wrote any of these emails.
Exactly. He wasn't he didn't email, he didn't text, but he did manage to, and in one of the documents that I found, he had people send text messages out to all the football players and tell them, for example, when there were football players being investigated for code of conduct, student violations, none of those players were to go over to be interviewed by the people in student affairs, otherwise they were going to be kicked off the team. And so there were clear ways that Paterno seemed to influence decisions related to both athletic discipline decisions, and there are suggestions that he helped shape the decision the university made in terms of whether and how it would respond in the Sandusky matter.
Brad Wolverton, senior writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Brad, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Robin.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Chef Kathy Gunst, enough said, here and now.